Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So government has just defined what Borivos is, and more importantly, what it's not. So in fact, there are very specific set of standards that need to be met in order to define Borivos as Borivos. We wanted to find out a little bit more about this. Joining us this morning is Peter Gordon. He's the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Meat Processors Association. Good morning. How are you? It's never bad to talk about Borivos, even at 8:14 in the morning, right?
No, very good. It's excellent to talk about meat products, in fact. So good morning, Howard. Morning, all your listeners.
All right. So what are the regulations? I mean, what makes Borivos Borivos?
Well, essentially, the regulation that was published last Friday is not new. It originally was in a different format. It was called R2718, and it fell under the Foodstuffs and Cosmetics Act, which is an act falling under the Department of Health. And what has happened is that they've simply moved exactly the same regulation under the Department of Agriculture, and they will later repeal the R2718 regulation. So essentially, a Borivos has to be made up of either beef, lamb, or pork. It has to have a 90% meat content. It has to have a maximum fat percentage. And it's fairly clearly defined, and exactly the same for products that use the word sausage.
I was just going to say, what is the difference between between Borivos and a sausage?
Borivos is a 90% meat content, and mm-hmm. sausage is a 75% meat content.
Wow.
And so you can see that different names have different compositional requirements. So typically in our industry, we've had to find ways of extending products to reduce price for a very broad spectrum of our consumers. And so you have things like Braivos, Borivos, Griller, Sizzler, all these different names came to be fairly confusing for consumers. And what this new piece of legislation hopes to do is to create a more clearly tiered range of products. So Borivos is top of the pyramid. It's the highest meat percentage. Then you could have a sausage. Then you could have a banger, a griller, or a sizzler. And the idea is that the manufacturer is able to then extend the product further with products like soya. So you can have a combination of meat, soya, and water.
Mm.
And so the pricing reflects more accurately what the composition of the product actually is. And that's really what this regulation does. It now defines what name has to have what compositional values. And I think that's a good thing.
I think it's very smart. Just before we move on to other products, I only have heard of bangers in a British context, bangers and mash, from books that I've read. I didn't know that was a thing. Are bangers popular in South Africa? And what's your meat percentage in a banger?
Bangers are very popular. So generally, all the retailers have bangers. Some of them are flavored, some of them are plain.
Mm.
And a banger, just hang on a second, I've got the legislation in front of me. I think bangers are 55%.
So that's significantly lower. So you've gone from 90% in Borivos, 75% in sausages, like 55 in bangers. In terms of our listeners, 34519 or 0618951019, am I alone in my ignorance that I don't even know of bangers? Look, I'm not the world's expert on any of this stuff, but I really, I didn't even know it was a South African, South African product. I always thought of it as
just been around since. In fact, the bangers were first launched in this country, I would think, in the 1960s.
Wow.
The first sort of banger, if you remember, way back in the day, Escort used to have a product called the Gold Medal Pork Sausage.
Right.
I know for the Jewish community it was their mainstay product back in the day, and that product has been around probably since the late 1950s. So, no, certainly bangers have been part of the food scene in South Africa for many, many years. And I think what we've tried to do is to try and just give some clarity to the industry as to how they need to name things and what the conventions need to be. And I think what's important, consumers need to look at the ingredient statement on the label. And what you will see is the ingredients are always stated in descending order of content. So the biggest percentage ingredient will be first on the ingredient list, and the smallest ingredient will be last. So it will be for typically beef, and then it might be fat, water, it could be rusk or binder agent, and then it could be a whole series of other ingredients like spices and so on. And that's generally a good indication. I think for the listeners, it's also important that products like extra lean mince, mince, extra lean has to have no more than 5% fat. So a maximum of 5% fat. And I think that's the one product category that is most clearly explained by the retailers in the labeling. So you have extra lean, you have lean, and then you have regular mince. Now, what confuses people is when butchers use terms like steak mince and topside mince.
Yes.
Because it's kind of, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? It doesn't mean anything to me, certainly. Now, what will happen under the new regulation, mince is also governed, and the use of the word, you know, steak mince suddenly becomes quite irrelevant. And I know this is going to upset a lot of butchers. A lot of butchers are going to say, but I've done this for 30 years and why should I change?
Exactly.
But I think what's happened is there's been an awful lot of smoke screening of products in the marketplace. And this regulation hopes to just bring some order to what names can be used for products that have been on the counter for years and years and years. So it's really just giving some structure to a fairly unstructured industry, and I think that's a good thing.
What about international products, South American chorizo sausages and things like that? How are they regulated as well as part of this?
No. This is for raw processed meats, not cooked, prepared processed meats. So chorizo would typically be a prepared product that's had a heat treatment to it, and therefore it's a completely different category of regulation. So it falls under a different regulation altogether. It falls under regulation R1283.
I think this is incredible, so this because it certainly has given me clarity. In just this short conversation, you actually have a sense now of how things are categorized.
Well, we hope so. I mean, this industry, this was an industry developed regulation. It's not something that the government have just pulled out of a hat. The industry has sat together extensively. There was extensive discussions in 2017, 2018. In fact, this regulation was finalized at the end of 2019. It was open to comment from the Consumer Goods Council, from the meat industry participants, and it then sat in abeyance for 2.5 years until it was published on Friday. So we're very happy that it's now finally been published, and hopefully the agency for the Food Safety Agency, who are the assignee for the Department of Agriculture, in other words, that's their enforcement agency, they start actually testing product and checking that products now meet with these requirements going forward.
Peter Gordon, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Meat Processors Association. Thank you for your clarification. What makes Vorse, Vorse?